Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, Text 29, Chapter entitled The Renunciation of Kardama Muni. Saha Bhagav
Eva
Bhagavan
Adya
Helanam
Na
Ganaya Naha Griheshu Jataha Gramyanam
Ya
Svanam Pakshaposhana
Sa Eva Bhagavan
Adya Elanam Naganayana Griheshu Jato Gramyanam Yasvanam Pakshaposhana
Sa Eva Bhagavan
Adya Elanam Naganayanaha Griheshu Jato Gramyanam Yasvanam Pukshaposhanaha
Sa Eva Bhagavan
Adya Elanam Naganayanaha Griheshu Jato Gramyanam Yasanam Pukshaposhanaha Saha
Eva.
That very same
Bhagavan,
Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Adya,
today, Elanam, negligence,
not
Ganaya,
considering high and low,
Na,
our,
Griheshu,
in the houses,
Jataha,
appeared,
Gramyanam,
of ordinary householders.
Yaha,
he who
Svanam,
of his own devotees,
Pakshaposhana,
who supports the party.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Not considering the negligence of ordinary householders like us, that very same Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in our home just to support his devotees. Please repeat after me. Not considering the negligence, of ordinary householders like us,
that very same Supreme Personality of Godhead
appears in our homes
just to support his devotees.
Purport. Devotees are so affectionate towards the Personality of Godhead that although he does not appear before those who practice yoga in a secluded place, even for many, many births, he agrees to appear in a householder's home where devotees engage in devotional service without material yoga practice. In other words, devotional service to the Lord is so easy that even a householder can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one of the members of his household, as his son, as Kardama Muni experienced. He was a householder
although a yogi, but he had the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God at Kapila Muni as his son. Devotional service is such a powerful transcendental method that it surpasses all other methods of transcendental realization. The Lord says, therefore, that he lives neither in Vaikuntha nor in the heart of a yogi, but he lives where his pure devotees are always chanting and glorifying him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhakta Vatsala. He is never described as Jnani Vatsala or Yogi Vatsala. He is always described as Bhakta Vatsala because he is more inclined toward his devotees than towards other transcendentalists. In Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that only a devotee can understand him as he is, Bhaktyamam Abhijanati. One can understand me only by devotional service, not otherwise. That understanding alone is real, because although jnanis, mental speculators, can realize only the effulgence or the bodily luster of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and yogis can realize only the partial representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a bhakta not only realizes him as he is, but also associates with the Personality of Godhead face to face. Any questions? Om Agyanati Mirandasya Jananjana Shulakaya Chaturin Militam Jinatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jinabhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Darati Shvapanantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. There are some very nice points made by Srila Prabhupada in his purport. Prabhupada has this ability to use just a few sentences to summarize and synthesize the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Very expert. And Srila Prabhupada never fails to remind us of our position. It is not a question of feeling superior to others and having a condescending attitude or looking down on other conditioned souls because we have the great fortune to be engaged in devotional service. If we have such attitude, then we cannot spread Krishna consciousness. Not only that, but we may even take it for granted that now that I'm a devotee, everything is assured. I am going back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. We are always reminded that even though a devotee is very dear to the Lord, there are always dangers. There are always signs. Whether we are following the guidelines of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a very interesting section of the Srimad Bhagavatam because we have the case of a devotee, Kardama Muni, who also happens to be a yogi. Not only he is a yogi, but his wife is also a yogini of the highest order. And it is befitting the situation because this is the time during the life of Brahma
that Krishna appears in so many different incarnations. And now he's going to appear, he has appeared now as Kapila Muni, Kapila Dev, to teach his mother Devahuti about the science of devotional service. But the circumstances within which Kapila Dev is going to teach his mother, it's an environment during a period of time where many people were mostly practicing yoga. And many people were cultivating knowledge of the Vedas, which is not the case today. And this is important to understand, because when we look at the verse, Jada Jada Idharmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata Abhyutanam Adatmanam Tadatmanam Srijamiyaham. Krishna comes for three purposes. What are the three purposes? Paritranaya Sadunam Vinashaya Saduskritam. Paritranaya Sadhunam. He comes to protect his devotees. But actually that protection is underlined by the fact that Krishna really wants to give his association to his devotee. He wants to enter into this lila. He wants to have loving exchanges with the devotees. And for that to take place, Vinashaya Saduskritam. He has to get rid of all the demoniac elements. Dharma samstapanartaya. He reestablishes the principles of religion so that dharma can prevail. The principles of dharma, which are the principles of pure devotional service. And this is quite misunderstood by people in general. Even, and especially in India, people, they have this, when people are asked to explain what's Hinduism, and then they move on to explaining what is Dharma, and then they start bringing all the different philosophies, all the cultures, all the traditions, they say this is Hinduism. As a matter of fact, we know there is no such a thing as Hinduism, just as there's no such a word as Hinduism. It's not mentioned in any Vedic scripture, is not mentioned in any Sanskrit dictionary. Hindu come from Sindhu. That was actually given by the Muslims. These people on the other side of the river, they don't know how to say Sindhu, they say Hindu. Those people who live on the other side of the river, we call them the Hindus. What they do all sorts of things. They have all sorts of religious principles, they have all sorts of cultures, which reflect ancient times, Vedic times. And under the banner of all this culturalism, then everyone is flagged and stamped as a Hindu. What is a Hindu? What does it mean to be a Hindu? There are so many people in India who are not Hindus. So then we have to move on to the description of Dharma. And Dharma is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 2. What's that verse? I forgot now. No, not that verse. I forgot. Huh? No. It doesn't have this word. Savai pumsam paro dharma. Yes? Savai pumsam paro dharma yato bhakti radoksaje. Ahaituki apratiyata yayatma suprasidati. This is dharma. Dharma is by which one is engaged in devotional service to Adoksaja, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How? Ahaituki apratiyata. It never stops and they have no conditions to it. If devotional service stops, it means it's motivated. Sometime yes, sometime no. Uninterrupted and unconditional. We don't put any conditions to our offering service to Krishna. We may have to follow rules and regulations, but ultimately we know pure bhakti is based on unconditional love for Krishna. This is the principle of Dharma, and because of that,
Dharma is no longer something that people think believes belongs to India. Dharma is universal. It's not only universal for this world in every yuga, but it's universal for the entire universe and the entire material world. Anyone who is interested to follow Dharma, anywhere in any species of life even, renders service to the Supreme Lord with no motivation, no interruption. This is a very good referring point. If we want to know how our bhakti is progressing, then we can gauge that. But what are our motivations and how often we're enthusiastic to render service to Krishna? So, in this situation here, Kapila Dev appears in the womb of Devahuti to teach her. And it's interesting when you go to the following chapters, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29th chapter. It's actually interesting the conversation that Kapila Dev has with his mother. He's teaching her every minor detail, step-by-step process of Ashtanga Yoga system. And she knows, because she is a yogini, she knows perfectly what is Ashtanga Yoga. But at every verse and every purport, both Krishna as Kapila Dev and Prabhupada in the purport is always reminding the reader that it only works if it is directly, not indirectly, but directly connected to Bhakti Yoga. And Prabhupada in every, I was reading this yesterday, I was just amazed. Every single purport which deals with the yoga practice, Prabhupada mentions every single time, it is not void and it is not impersonal. The practice of yoga must lead to worshipping the transcendental form of the Lord. Now, this is interesting because we have our yoga tours to India twice a year. We take yoga teachers, qualified yoga teachers from China. We take them to India. We take them first to Vrindavan so they can get a good introduction to Bhakti Yoga and the atmosphere of Vrindavan. And then we go to Rishikesh. And we stay about 8 days in Rishikesh. Now Rishikesh is famous for being the most popular spot for yogis. And there are people who come from all over the world. And it's an interesting phenomenon because even though that city, which is right on the laps of the Himalayas where the Ganges flows, has literally millions and millions of visitors all throughout the year. If it's not Hindu pilgrims, it will be foreign people who come to learn yoga. And there are so many different yoga teachers, so many of them. Some are more qualified than others. There are some pretty good yoga teachers. And despite the huge amount of people who come to that place, there's no trash, there's no noise, there are no cars. It's just pristine. The Ganges water is like tap water. It's even nicer, crystal clear. And cows wander freely on the streets. And there are sadhus everywhere, whatever you can categorize as a sadhu, more like. There are some sadhus who sit in temples and chant Hare Krishna all day. There are other sadhus who beg. All sorts of categories of people who are considered mendicant. And some sit on the by the ghats and do some yoga asana. It's really a place where people feel there's quite a powerful transcendental atmosphere. But you have all these foreigners who come and chant all these mantras and do all these yoga meditation every morning, every night. Offer puja to Mother Ganga. And
All day there are seminars and retreats about meditation, about yoga asana. So we bring our yoga teachers in that atmosphere. They're just actually quite overwhelmed. They don't expect to be lifted by this amazing spiritual atmosphere. And then we sit down. In the morning they have yoga asana for 2.5 hours, 3 hours. And then in the afternoon we give a lecture in a beautiful park. It's actually amazing. The ashram where we stay, which is the Paramat Niketan ashram, it looks like Mayapur in the 80s. They haven't made much progress in you know, with buildings and facilities. It's actually quite nice, quite basic. It's really ashram life. And then when we start discussing the process of yoga, especially Ashtanga yoga, which begins with yama niyama, the things that you should do and you should not do. And Kapila Dev go through each one of the different aspects of yama niyama with his mother Devahuti, as if she doesn't know. Why would Kapila Dev go through such an effort and such an extent to describe Ashtanga yoga in the Srimad Bhagavatam? What is the purpose of that? Now we have to understand that historically speaking, Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken 5,000 years ago to replace the presence of Lord Krishna who has departed for the spiritual world. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the vessel that carries people throughout Kali Yuga to attain perfection. So, all those who are interested in transcendental knowledge, all those who are interested to understand what is pure bhakti, they go into the pages of the Bhagavatam and there's something for them. And at that particular point here in the renunciation of Kardama Muni, it applies both for the yogis and for the householders. And even if the householders are yogis, they can also learn something. So it's quite interesting that when we interact with those yoga teachers and we begin to describe, because they believe that yoga begins with yoga asana, hatha yoga. And as a matter of fact, 99% of people who practice yoga believe that it starts with hatha yoga, yoga asana, when actually it does not. You have to qualify it. It's not a question of putting your foot behind your neck or standing on one leg. It doesn't stop there, even if you have the capability. I mean, like last night, we were watching, that American Olympian who was doing this amazing somersault and like stretching here. Far more advanced than any yogi in terms of flexibility of all the limbs of her body. It's just unbelievable what she can do. She's only 18 years old. So it's not just a question of being flexible and, you know, you have to prepare yourself so you can be kind to your body, be kind to your mind, be kind to your environment, be kind to other living entities, be kind to Mother Nature, so you can become a good instrument to the next level, which is Hatha Yoga, Yoga Asana, and then the next step is Pranayama, then Pratyahara, then Dharana, then Dhyana, and then Samadhi. So you have to go through each one of those different ladders of yoga to get into Samadhi. And for each step of that yoga process, you have a specific teacher. Not the same teacher will teach you everything. You may have a Hatha yoga teacher who is very good with yoga asana, but then he may not be good in pranayama, which is to teach you how to breathe. And that exercise to learn how to breathe is only for one purpose, is to control the mind. And as a matter of fact, Ashtanga yoga is only about one thing. It's about controlling the mind. If your mind is out of control, you can be the best of yogis. You don't go anywhere in your meditation. And we see this sometime in India. I remember even in when I first went to India in the mid-70s, in 76, I remember sitting by the Ghat in Varanasi, and there were these yogis doing headstands. For hours, standing on their heads. And then they had a begging bowl next to them. And then if you bring your ear closer, they were actually snoring. They're just having a nap with their headstands. But people think it's far out, so they throw money. So it's just an exhibition of one's physical capabilities. But to be able to control the mind for the purpose of meditation, that's all it is. Your body, you're able to sit properly. I recall again, I was telling the devotees recently in a class in Beijing, they asked me to give a class on Sri Upanishad. I had not given a class on Sri Upanishad for decades. And it brought me back some memories of learning Sri Upanishad at the Bhakta program at New Mayapur in France in 77, with Chiranjeev, by the way. We did the Bhakta program together. And the only thing I remember about Sri Upanishad is my knees. Because I was a new devotee, and you sit on the marble floor, and man, like my legs were on fire. My knees were on fire. And the devotee was giving class on Sri Upanishad. I'm thinking, when is this going to end? I need to stand up. I need to move. I mean, so much for being a yogi, right? Also, if you eat too much ghee, you can't sit for very long cross-legged. You can make the experiment. If you need to stand up straight away, you see the devotees, they go, they need to be helped. In India, you see so many ladies, they can hardly walk. They go like this. Right? They go from one side to the other like this. Why? So much oil, so much fried food. They have to be helped everywhere. More the ladies than the men. Anyway, back to the point that the control of the mind can only be achieved when the body is healthy and stable and under control. Then we can begin to enter meditation. And that meditation is guided by another teacher who is expert in meditation. Now, what kind of meditation is that? Prabhupada emphasizes in every purport, there is no question of meditation on voidism and impersonalism. He said, this is not yoga. It has never been yoga. It will never be yoga. He said, at best, some people, they look at the form of Krishna in the form of one letter. What letter is that? Om. They meditate on the Om. And that's as far as they can go. Prabhupada here mentions in the purport that it doesn't matter what endeavor, what austerity yogis can perform. They can only go so far in their meditation. Therefore, you need guidance. And the aim of meditation in Krishna consciousness is to realize two things. One, I am not this body. I'm a spirit soul. I'm actually not this body. And when you enter meditation, you actually realize this body is actually not present. It's only the soul which is brought to life through consciousness. And the second thing that you realize is the presence of the super soul within the heart. And Kapila Dev is going to bring that up to his mother. And what is he going to do? There's an entire chapter that describes the meditation of the yogi on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said there is a form. The Supreme Lord has a form. If you don't meditate on the form, your meditation is nil. You may as well do something else with your life. And then it begins with the lotus feet of the Lord rising to his thighs and his navel and his chest. And he describes in every detail what you find, what you see, what it looks like, what it feels like, and what it's for. All the way to the neck, the earrings, the beautiful face, the eyes, the mouth, the nose, the curly hair of the Supreme Lord, until you have the entire form of the Lord right in front of you. Right in front of you, Krishna appears. From the Paramatma, it manifests within your mind. You have achieved samadhi. Then based on the teacher, because you always need a teacher. There is never any step on the spiritual path where you think, I'm done with my teacher. I've learned what I had to learn. Now I'm a big boy and I go ahead with my own spiritual life. That does not work.
Not only we have the initiating guru, but we have the sadhus. We are all teachers. We teach each other. We hold each other's hands so we can proceed on the path. So the teacher will teach us which form we want to meditate on. Prabhupada explains that. Which form do you want to meditate on based on sadhana? The kind of sadhana that we cultivate, that would bring a specific form of Krishna. And Prabhupada says some people are inclined to worship Sitaram, some people are inclined to worship Lakshmi Narayan, some people are inclined to worship Radha and Krishna, some people are inclined to worship all the different expansions of Krishna in the Vaikuntha planets, such as Narasingha, Varaha, Kurma, different forms. And a yogi attains perfection by worshipping that specific form. At the time of leaving this body, Krishna says in the 8th chapter, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyatcha mayarpitamaya budhir mam eveshyashi samsayaha. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu. Therefore you should think of me all the time in my form of Krishna. Mam anusmara yudhyatcha. You should always remember me in this form. And in this way you can actually come to me. So it's very important that devotees always engage in deity worship. And relating to this verse, we can see, and it's quite befitting because Janmashtami is just upon us in a couple of days. Is it in a couple of days? 3 days?
Thursday.
That we celebrate the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, who appeared as the son of Devaki, who was transferred to the womb of Mother Yashoda and gave pleasure to the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who worshipped his transcendental form as a baby, as a young boy, as a youth. Others later on worshipped him as a prince, as a king, as a friend. All the different rasas are being exhibited. And this specific meditation actually melts the heart of the devotee. Because there is such a personal, intimate connection between Krishna and his devotee that surpasses all other types of meditation. Whether one is cooking, cleaning, doing kirtan, reading the Krishna book, right? During Janmashtami, you have the reading of Krishna book all day. Devotees doing service on the altar, receiving the guest, distributing prasadam. All these activities are directly related to meditation on the personal form of Krishna. It's very, very specific. And it's mostly recommended for householders. That's why we have temples. Prabhupada explains in one purport. What is the difference between worshipping in a temple and worshipping outside the temple? He said, outside the temple it's very flexible because you can worship Krishna anywhere. Just like devotees travel with Shalagram Shilas, Govardhan Shilas, even like this. Have you ever seen Gopal Krishna Maharaj doing his puja every morning? Wherever he is in this world, every morning, 3 hours of puja. He has everything and everyone on his altar. Gonitai, Radha Krishna, Shalagram Shila, Jagannath. And he does personal puja every morning. And he travels with his Indrajyumna Swami, it's the same. He has his puja case, and then wherever he is, sets up his puja and he worships everyone. Giriraj, Shalagram, Ganesh, Shiva, and then he throws gold at them. He has a whole case with gold. He just goes like this, throws gold at them. And he told me just recently, he said, I said, Maharaj, you spend so much time doing puja every day. He goes, what is there in life except one's puja? He said, there's nothing else. He said, this is my life. And he's been doing this ever since I've known him. Every single day.
doing puja. So you can actually worship. And as mentioned in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna explains to Uddhava about the process of deity worship, he explains how there are 8 different material that can be used in Krishna's service as worshipping Krishna. What are those 8 materials? Stone, wood, paint, metal, mind, jewel, what else? Sand? So many different material can be used. From the material energy, Krishna can manifest in the deity form. And that becomes the object of meditation for the devotee. In the temple, the congregation comes and everyone worships. It's one single focus. Worshipping the deities, supporting the temple, engaging in service in the temple. This is purifying. Some devotees can afford to do puja at the temple, and then they go home, they do puja at home also. But the idea is that, especially for householders, because brahmacharis, vanaprastas and sannyasis can be always on the move. They need to take Krishna with them. Prabhupada says they take Krishna in a little box. And you can take Krishna with you wherever you are, and you can do your puja. This is your temple. Mama Mandire. The mind becomes the mandir. In your heart, you have Krishna within your heart, and then you worship a small deity. So it's very flexible. Wherever you are, you can do puja. But when you are settled in one particular location, you have the main temple, and everyone goes there. Everyone is absorbed. Everyone renders little service or big service. And in that way, Krishna becomes present in a devotee's life. Another interesting point to look at is that most of the devotees in general and throughout history are householders. If you look even at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how many sannyasis did he have around him? Hardly any. Maybe 2 or 3 visiting, because sannyasis are always on the move. They would visit and then they keep moving. But practically speaking, all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, all grihasthas, all of them, and all worship deities. Even today, you can go to their homes, those homes that are still intact, you go into the jungle and the villages in Bengal and Orissa, and you can still see the deity of the particular family that used to be worshipped 500 years ago, still there, worshipped by the descendants. So when the followers of Lord Chaitanya would travel to Puri every year, they would leave their home, they would do kirtan all the way to Puri, spend 4 months during the rainy season with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then what happened on the last day? They say, it's time to go. But it was so painful for them to leave. They did not want to go. And Mahaprabhu did not want them to leave. I mean, you spend 4 months with Lord Chaitanya, you just go? Not that easy. So then they would have this little extension. They would stay an extra 4 or 5 days. They would take 4 or 5 days to say goodbye. People don't like to say goodbye. And what would happen during those 4 or 5 days? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sit in one place and they would come one by one, one family after another, one grihastha couple after another, and they would receive direct instruction. You go back to your village, you do Harinam. You go back to your village, you look after your parents. You go back to your village, you teach Bhagavad Gita. You go back to your village, you establish a temple. Each person would receive a direct instruction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to engage in devotional service in their own home so that Krishna can be there. And for those who are really so pained to be separated from Lord Chaitanya, he says, don't worry, I will be in your home. Each time you offer something, I will be there to eat your offering. I mean, it's amazing when you think of that meditation, how you are able
through the practice of bhakti yoga, not yoga asana, not pranayama, not pratyahara, not dharana, but pure bhakti yoga, we can actually bring Krishna into the home and actually see Krishna face to face. It's very possible. It's real. Prabhupada used that word, I think, in a purport. It's real. The presence of the Lord is real. Maybe we may not have the eyes to see. Maybe we may not be that aware or conscious, but Krishna is right there and he's standing there ready to accept our service. And as soon as we begin to do that service, he begins to reciprocate. Instantly. This is the magic of engaging in deity worship. There is instant and direct reciprocation. So this has been always in our line to engage householders in worshipping Krishna in their homes. So back to our presentation of the yoga system to our Chinese yoga teachers. You know, when you start talking about what actually the process of yoga is, they look at you like, oh, well, I didn't know that. Are you sure I have to give up meat eating? I mean, it's like, yeah, you can still eat meat and do hatha yoga. What's the problem? It's just a gymnastic, it's only a sport. As a matter of fact, the Chinese government 2 years ago looked into the yoga practice for the Chinese people and said, yoga is very, very good for our people. And then he said, but there is a line that should never be crossed, because we know that beyond this yoga asana, there is something spiritual and even religious. And we will not allow this in our country. And Narendra Modi, when he went to China, he gave Bhagavad Gita to the Prime Minister. And then they started discussing the goodness of, because the Chinese people also practice yoga, but in a different way. They practice Qigong and they practice Tai Chi, which is a very, very powerful method to stay physically and mentally fit. And you have to see this with your own eyes. At 6 o'clock in the morning, all the parks or in residential areas, everybody comes down the street at 6 o'clock in the morning and they start doing their exercise. It's beautiful just to look at. Very peaceful, very harmonious, very controlled. And then people go to work, those who are elderly, they continue to do it in the park throughout the day. They go for hours practicing these beautiful, harmonious movements of the body to control the mind and stay very stable. So that practice is already there. Chinese people, they like to have their mind and their body under control to achieve big material goals. They know this is the secret. If you want to be very prosperous, if you want to be materially successful, you've got to walk straight line. You've got to do it right. And they're willing to perform any type of sacrifice to get that objective. So now people have moved on now to yoga. There are hundreds and hundreds of yoga centers. And people go there and they just do hatha yoga, yoga asana. A little bit of yoga meditation, but it doesn't go further than that. And when you introduce actually what is Ashtanga yoga, which begins with yama niyama, which is non-violence, vegetarianism, honesty, no theft, compassion. There's all these qualities that you have to develop just to be able to sit peacefully. And they don't understand. They say, wow, I don't know you have to do all this. Say, well, sorry, you're not practicing yoga. You're doing gymnastic. Purely gymnastic. So Prabhupada, in the last purport and in this purport, he mentions again, we're not talking about Krishna being Jnani Vatsala. Krishna is not a Yogi Vatsala, right? He is a Bhakta Vatsala. And there is, I listened recently to a room conversation with one scholar with Srila Prabhupada. And that scholar presents all the different ideas and techniques of meditation, different aspects of Vedic philosophy, and Prabhupada very patiently, he keeps bringing back to the same point. He said, yes, I agree with you, but bhakti yogis, just by chanting or taking prasadam or hearing Krishna Katha, they are instantly above all these practices. He says, why should we bother cultivating knowledge? Why should we practice yoga birth after birth after birth? I mean, people think they practice yoga. When you really want to know what is the process of yoga asana, it's lifetimes of practice. Not 2 years, 3 years, get your diploma. Some people go to India and they take a picture with one of the... any guy down the street with long hair and long beard, take a photo, bingo, put this on the diploma and put this at the door of the yoga center. I am certified by Guruji. They never learned anything. They learn on YouTube. Like we have one Mataji in China, she learned Bharatanatyam just on YouTube. She never goes to India. She's a professional Bharatanatyam dancer now. Every function she's on stage. She learned everything on YouTube. Amazing woman. Anyway, so these yoga teachers, they just go to India 2 or 3 months, get diploma, and they make lots of money. They got so many members who sign up for the yoga club. But it's not yoga. It's never been yoga. It's just some exercise. Yoga practice takes lifetimes of tapasya, mind control, body control, breathing control, just to get to what? I'm not this body. Finished. Devotee walks in, first day in the temple, sees Krishna's on the altar, hears the holy names, takes prasadam, perfection. Of course, it takes some training, it takes some perseverance, it takes, you know, applying ourselves to the process. But from day one, we are given all the informations, everything that we needed to attain perfection. And that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. It's the fast track. Very fast track. Prabhupada said it's possible in one life. It's possible in one life. And what does that mean, one life? We calculate, oh, maybe I'll die when I'm 85. How about if you die this afternoon? What happened? So we accumulate our spiritual credit by engaging in devotional service every single day. There's no break. Devotional service is every single day. No vacation. Then, in whatever consciousness we are at the time of leaving this body, Krishna takes over and gives us, brings us to the next step so we can get closer and closer to the goal of pure bhakti. Okay, I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? No? All right. Yes. 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 Prabhupada explains, actually I've read it many times in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada explained the teachings of Patanjali, who presented the Yoga Sutra and the process of Ashtanga Yoga. He said, this process is actually harmonious and parallel to the process of bhakti. And the devotees may not be aware of it, but when you practice devotional service, bhakti yoga, you actually engage in Ashtanga yoga. You actually follow all the same procedures. So it's all there. But we concentrate on the highest goal. We don't sit for hours in yoga asana. Lots of devotees practice yoga to stay healthy.
So those different practices are there in the life of a devotee. And they are not contradictory. What's contradictory is when people move through the different levels of Ashtanga Yoga to try to merge into nothing. So that's absolute waste of time. Better you go to Crossroads, have a scoop of halva. Halva with custard, that's it. You're the highest of all the yogis. That's all it takes. How many devotees became devotees just by getting a simply wonderful from someone on Harinam? What was that? Wait. How many devotees became devotees just by getting a little mantra card? Right? Devotees just, here, take a card. You have Maha Mantra on one side, the address on the other. That's it, your life is finished. As simple as that. That's all it takes. We have to understand how powerful this process is. You just give a mantra card to someone, their life's changed. Just a little piece of paper. Just a little scoop of prasadam. Or hearing the sound of katas. Or seeing devotees. I, John, just by seeing devotees. My father took me to a shop to buy a motorbike when I was 16. And for some reason, that motorbike shop was right across the first temple in Paris. And while my father was negotiating with the guy, I looked across the window and I saw these two brahmacharis, like, you know, shaved up, tea like saffron. And I went, whoa, which planet are they coming from? I want some of that. And I remember my father pulled me in and says, don't look at these people. Don't look at them. It was too late. You kept talking about it. It was too late. Too late. I said, I want to be like this. And just clock was ticking. It's very, very powerful. The Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya is very powerful. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.